Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from Jesus Christ our Lord. One of the things I like to do is follow different preachers, different teachings. I like to look at different views in the world, follow different types of politics to get different ideas so that I'm not just seeing one side, but seeing many sides. And so I also follow what you might call progressive Christianity, or just people that maybe teach a little different to understand why they teach or what they teach. This is a post that I saw this week, and we'll see if you can see, while this sounds good, maybe where is the problem in what this says. It says here, the gospel, here's the gospel in a word, love. Easy as that, hard as that. Okay, summarizing the gospel with the word love. Okay, doesn't sound maybe that bad, but then the bottom part, maybe that's where maybe your antennas go up and say, oh, maybe there's an issue there. Easy as that, hard as that. Question might be, what love is that focusing on? Whose love? Is this law or gospel? The gospel in a word is love. If it's not focusing on the love of Jesus, then whose love is it focusing on? Your love? And is that gospel that's actually law? If the gospel is that you need to love, well, that's not gospel at all. That's actually work righteousness and a law of what you do. The gospel is what God has done for you, not what we're to do. And so, in fact, this kind of is stripping the gospel of the truth. Instead of saying the gospel is about what Jesus has done, his love, it's saying you must do the gospel. It's law, not gospel. Now, as we look at family, I'm going to put up this next picture and understand that I know in lots of houses you have this, and this is not a bad thing, right? This house is filled with love. Maybe you have that in your house. Is that a bad thing? Of course not, right? It's good in your house to be filled with love, especially when you think of many of the alternatives. To have a house filled with love is a good thing. But maybe as we get to the end of our lesson today, is there maybe a better way to think about what your house can be filled with? So as we look at what God is bringing before us today in his word, we're going to look at the unique Christian home. And there's kind of two parts to that unique Christian home. Number one is that just as Christians, we should have a unique Christian home. We should have something that stands out from the rest of the world, but also understanding that within our lives and home life, that this is going to be hard, that understanding to have this really play out is a unique thing. Why? Because we live in a broken, sinful world, which means there's broken families. We're sinful people, and so that plays out in our families, and it's hard. And understanding that as we talk about family in today's lesson, I understand that not all of you have families. Maybe you're looking toward a future family, or maybe you're in years past where you don't really have as much family anymore. And so while this is directed towards family, I think as we go through this and talk about it, you'll see that there's things you can pick up and learn, not just for your family life, but maybe for the Christian family life. And as Paul is writing about this unique Christian home, he's been leading up to it by talking about how we are to live as Christians. And he starts out saying, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. But then he goes on, and what I would argue as we go through this section, if you noticed when we read it, did you hear anything stand out? Now it talks about husband and wife, and we are going to hear about children. Did you hear something come up over and over again? As he talked about reverence for Christ, Christ comes up specifically, it says Christ six times, but we see this huge focus on Christ. It kind of stands out in verse 32, where in 31 he's talking about, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. So while he's talking about husband and wife, what's he really focusing on? The focus is on Christ. And what about Christ? But we see the sacrifice of Christ. We see that play out here. It says, as wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, of which he is the Savior. He's sacrificing. Also, husbands, love your wife just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by washing with water through the word, to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, holy and blameless. We see these great things as we see Christ sacrificing for us. He loves us. It says he takes care of us. He nourishes us. He feeds us. He loves us and has given everything. He went to the cross for you and for me. Came down from heaven to live perfectly for you. Sacrificed everything. And then he cleanses us. Both by his sacrifice on the cross and rising again, but then through baptism. He makes us holy and blameless. And so he is the head of the church. We are his body. These are all things that are really focused on, and what I'd say is the foundation of this whole lesson as we see family and the family of Christ, but you have to see Christ in it or it doesn't make any sense or we have no power to do any of this. Because there's really challenge in what Paul is asking us to do, what God is saying the family life should look like. He says, wives, submit to your own husbands. Husbands, love your wives. What is the challenge but to love and submit? Is that an easy thing to do? Love is maybe something that seems fairly easy. So let's wait on that one. But submit? Oh, do we cringe at the word submit? Why do we cringe at submit? Well, it sounds like someone's putting someone into submission, something forced, but here submission is something that is willingly done. Why? Out of love, out of thanks. And really, what does submit mean? One of the best explanations or definitions of submit that I've heard is to trust someone to do their job. Understanding that we have different roles and positions and God has put other people maybe in places that are leading me and I can submit myself to them. Here, to lead off the section, he says, submit to one another. So when we talk about submission, it's not just wives submitting to husbands, but in life, in relationships, we submit to one another. And yes, God is asking wives to submit to their husbands, to follow their lead, to lovingly put them first, to follow out of love. It's not an easy thing in our world where we are seeking our own ways, but God asks us to do that, and it's not an easy thing because we're sinful, and then even the leader is sinful. God asked the husband to love, and how hard that is. Because what is the example but Christ? The question could be asked, which is an easier job, or which is a harder job, to love or submit? And I think so often people, oh, submitting's a hard thing, but what's the husband asked to do? To love as Christ loved the church, to give up himself. So the typical question is, you know, husbands, are you willing to die for your spouse? And wives, you might nudge your husband, oh, you know, yeah, need to be able to to give your life for us? Oh, and the husband will say, of course. But then ask the simple question, are you willing to get up and show your love in small ways every day? To put the needs of your spouse and your kids first. A good summary of what this looks like, of love and submit, is given in 1 Corinthians 7 when it talks about a married couple. It says, but a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he can please his wife. A married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world, how she can please her husband. So love and submit to serve and to show that love. And why is there the head? Why does the husband love and serve? Well, someone needs to be in charge and lead, and they're responsible. It's not that a husband is to lord that leadership over, but they're the ones responsible for the spiritual care, the physical care. That the buck stops there. If decisions need to be made, it doesn't mean that the husband needs to make every decision, but they need to guide and make sure that the family is healthy. So the husband is to lead out of love and to sacrifice for the spouse and for kids. Because that's really what it looks like as we put it into action. You can summarize this in how a husband and wife will lead and then what children are asked to do in family. Verse 33 says, however, each of you must also love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first command with a promise. So how do we put this into action? But love, respect, and honor. Honor and obey for kids. But how could you summarize this in maybe one phrase? But to serve one another. To put the other first. It plays out in different ways. The truth is, women most often need to be loved more than men need love. And men need to be respected more than they need to be loved. And children, they need to honor, because children, well, from an early age, they think they know best. And so they need to learn that parents love them and want what is best for them, even if it's not always what they want or they think is best. So how does that play out, though? As a husband is to love, maybe you can think about it this way. When people think about you, can they tell what you love, fathers? Do you wear the Packers clothes? Do you love hunting? Do you love farming? Do you love a hobby? Do you love your work? Is that clear to people? And how is that clear to people? Is it clear to your family what you love? I'm guessing it is. What should be clear to your family of what you love? God? To love God first and then to love your family? Put your wife first and your children first? Is that evident in how you live your life? Can they see that you love God? Can they see that you put family first? And wives, as you respect your husbands, as we women struggle sometimes in maybe wanting to lead, that can be a struggle, then the worst thing for a man is to feel disrespected. Does a man come home and feel a disrespect in the house? How can you serve and love? Not saying they're perfect, but understanding you can love and serve. And children, to see how you can serve and honor your parents, because that changes as you get older, even as you're an adult. How do you honor your parents? A good way to maybe summarize, as we said, is to serve, but how does this play out? Maybe as a father can lead by an example. I was at a conference last week, and a pastor talked about how a friend came home, and he shared how when he comes home from work, usually the first thing you think of is, You need to sit down, relax, and kind of be served. And he thought, what if I change that? What if I come home and the first thing I say to my wife is, honey, how can I serve you? And not saying you must do this, but to think about, how can you serve your spouse? And they said, how much a blessing was that when you're thinking not of how can you be served, but to serve the other person. But the big change, or the thing that really struck their heart, was after several weeks, their son came home from school, and the first words out of his mouth was, Mom, how can I serve you? The example of the father goes down to their children, and how you show that service and love has a huge impact on your family. Now, as we talk about this, if you summarize, other than the beginning of the sermon, what's it been a lot of? It's been a lot of law. We talked about, again, when we talk about love and serving in the family, you might be struggling because you're saying, hey, this is hard. I don't do this. I struggle to serve, and I struggle to love and honor and respect. And so we go back to that picture of the family again, right? The house filled with love. Is there maybe a better concept or a better way to think about how your house can be filled? What if your house is instead filled with gospel? Yes, it should be filled with love and service, but what's the difference is understanding that there's a lot of law in that, and a lot of my failure. You're like me. You're falling short in being a father and being a husband. And so we need the gospel. We need to know that I'm forgiven, that Christ is that perfect servant, that Christ died and suffered for my sin. And to fill that house with forgiveness and love and mercy. Not love based just on my acts, but the love that comes from Christ. And how might that play itself out? Well, think about this. In the last verse, it says, Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. This idea of embittering them or making them angry, well, often that's because we think, and in our culture and in tradition, it's what are fathers supposed to do? They're supposed to bring the law. This idea of what a father should really bring and to make his house, this comes from a book I read several years ago called Being Dad. And it really questions that idea. And it uses this example. It says, so often, the typical example is mom's at home with the kids, and kid does something wrong, and mom says, what? Wait till dad gets home. And what is the kid then doing? Goes upstairs, maybe he's crying, maybe he's already getting some sort of punishment. So is the kid sorry for what he did? Does he know he did something wrong? Has he maybe been punished? But what happens? Dad comes home and punishment. Is that what the kid needs at that time? Not saying in every situation, I don't know. Maybe the child needs to be corrected a little bit more. Maybe they're not sorry. But most often, what can a father actually be focused on is giving gospel. You're the representative of Christ in the family, and to build a home where people are wanting to confess their sins, and that brother and sister and kids ask for forgiveness, and you hear you're forgiven and you're loved over and over again. Because where do you hear the law? What functions in the law? Everything else in the world. Where do you hear the gospel and you're loved and forgiven? Here at church? In the Bible? Maybe you can make your home a place that is filled with the gospel, where you are in God's word, but living that out, forgiving each other, knowing that we are not going to carry this out perfectly. We're not perfect parents. We're not perfect children. But we're forgiven. And so, yes, have a house filled with love and service, but more than that, have a house filled with the love and forgiveness of Christ. A truly unique Christian home that's filled with the gospel. Amen. Please stand. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.